Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But we take a break from that, and we talk baseball with a guy who I think proved throughout October how unbiased he is. I always thought he was biased. I was wrong. One of the most unbiased baseball guys out there. Of course, you see him on Barstool tweeting all the time. He's everywhere. And that, of course, is the infamous Jared Carrabas. Jared, good to talk to you again. How you been?
Evan, good morning. I am insulted that you didn't put the great before my name like you did previously with a guest that you mentioned. Also, whenever you tweet that you're going to have me on your show, the Twitter mentions, you would think that you were about to have like a dictator convicted of war crimes on your show, which is just very insulting to you. Like, your fan base is very insulting to me.
Well, I don't think they see the unbiasedness that I've learned to see from you. I mean, see when I watch the videos of you watching the Yankees in the playoffs, they see you laughing and celebrating when the Yankees struggle. I see you just watching a baseball game, having a good time, and I think that's the big difference, you know?
Right. I mean, that's not even 100% true. I mean, there were times where I was clapping for just good, clean baseball play. Like, I wasn't rooting for either team. I mean, if there was a good, clean baseball play, I applauded it because I love this great game.
All right, since you like good, clean baseball, let's start there. What do you think is going to happen to the Astros? Because, I mean, it's been painfully obvious over the last month with all the video evidence that's been supplied that a lot of shenanigans have been going on there for a while with this team.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that the penalty is going to be unprecedented, so it's really hard to say for sure what it's going to be. But I think if they really wanted to hurt them, because, I mean, obviously there's going to be some sort of fine here, but, I mean, you're punishing the owners. If you fine the organization, you're punishing people who can afford to write a check. If you really want to hurt the organization, you have to hit them where it hurts. I saw something like drastic saying, oh, you got to prevent them from signing free agents for a whole year. You can't really do that, but you could dock them international spending money. That would hurt. I mean, that's something that you could do. There could be some sort of draft pick penalty here where, you know, they almost enforcing the severest of punishments that you can get for exceeding the luxury tax for multiple years. You could explore that as an option. But really, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of suspension for AJ Hinch. And then if they want to continue down the line to other guys that were rumored to be involved, that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah, let's start with the players before we even get to your manager, because let's face it, he could be in trouble too. And maybe even my manager, even though he was a player at the time in Beltran. What do you do, like a guy like Bregman? I know you and Bregman are buddies, right? Aren't you guys like texting each other all the time, you and Alex Bregman, good friends?
I can't confirm or deny that.
Okay, but a guy like Bregman, I don't know what to do with him. Okay, he knew, obviously, this was going on because he hears a drum being banged and knows the kind of pitch that's coming. But I sort of feel weird taking him and Altuve and whomever else and suspending them because I don't know what they could have done. If the whole franchise and the whole team is doing this, are we really going to go after every single player that either benefited or didn't benefit? Because some guys just stink. As Met fans are going to find out with Jake Marisnyk, he's just not a good hitter. I don't know if it matters if he knew what pitch was coming. So I am against doing anything to these players because what are you supposed to do, you know?
I don't think it's possible because, you know, the trash can was the way that it sort of made its rounds on the internet. But then you start talking about the bullpen catcher is signaling signs. There's no way to prove who benefited from that. And then the Band-Aids that vibrated. There's no way to prove who was wearing one and who wasn't wearing one. So I don't think that they're going to be punishing any players individually. This is going to have to be an organizational punishment, which is kind of, I think that that's fair. I think that that's fair. But yeah, if you're not going to attack any players on this, then you have to come at the organization hard. And I think that they're going to make an example of the Astros, because I also think that the league has to be aware that the Astros were not the only team doing this or something like this.
Right.
So I think it's kind of like, all right, we're going to set the mark with the Astros, and then it just trickles down to these other organizations that they know, like, we're not going to see something like this ever again. Like, agreed, and then look at all these owners and managers and things of that nature.
And, you know, when it comes to Cora or even Beltran, I kind of lean towards not even suspending them either, because it affects a team that had nothing to do with it. You know, why should your team, or in my team's case, be affected by something that happened years ago and was really created by the Houston Astros, not them, even if they were a part of it, you know?
That's why, and I'm 100% in agreement with you. Obviously, I think we both have some skin in the game here.
Yes,
so
we do.
But I will say this. It's a valid point. Like, if you were to suspend Carlos Beltran or Alex Cora, you're now punishing two organizations that had nothing to do with this. So there's got to be some sort of fine that they get slapped with. Because, I mean, at this point, we can prove that the Astros were cheating. We don't necessarily know that Beltran and Cora were involved. I mean, there's no hard evidence here. It's all just hearsay at this point. I think both of them were cooperating with the investigation. I'm sure that they both claim their innocence, which I'm sure that they are. And we can just move on from
this.
If they want to slap them with a little fine, then you know, I'd be happy to start a GoFundMe so that neither of them have to pay a dime.
Yeah, and of course, both of us have no bias in this. I mean, at all.
No,
no reason to think this.
No.
Now,
it's just, why would you punish two innocent bystanders in the Red Sox?
Now, this may be a little bit difficult of a conversation for you and I. Okay, the Red Sox, what the hell's going on? Are you guys going to just start dumping payroll? You're not going to re-sign Mookie? You're just going to start, you know, slashing payroll? Is that really the reality of what's going to happen with your franchise?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, boy.
I guess so, Evan. I think when you look at the situation, what's going on now, I mean, there's been a lot of different rumors floating around. I mean, they're talking about trading David Price, Nathan Eovaldi, and I think that there's a common misconception that if the Red Sox go out right now and say they flip David Price to the Phillies, and now you take $32 million off the payroll. Now they're probably under the luxury tax threshold, but now you're missing, you have a big hole in the rotation. You still don't really have a whole lot of payroll flexibility to go then replace David Price in the rotation. Sure, you can keep Mookie for one more year, but then once free agency rolls around, are you even going to be able to keep him? I think that's something that most Red Sox fans are kind of looking at this as, oh, just unload a bunch of payroll now so that you can pay Mookie later. There's really no guarantee that even if you had the payroll flexibility to be able to offer Mookie Betts what you think is a true valuation of him, that he even comes back anyway. So I think, you know, the Red Sox are exploring all their options. You know, Chaim Bloom is a very, very intelligent guy. I think that he was brought in here for a reason, because you just saw a $60 million payroll Tampa Bay Rays team go to the postseason last year when the Red Sox top two starters make $60 million next year.
Hey.
So he's coming in here to do some things that I wouldn't want to do in my first year on the job. Like, I would want a clean slate to work with. He's working with a big sloppy mess, and God bless him for at least attempting to put together a roster that you're cutting significant payroll while also attempting to contend for a championship at the same time.
Well, here's the reality, okay? And I assume you're going to admit it, but I'm not positive. When the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole, because I think they are too, and I'm not saying it to jinx them. Maybe that's your plan. I'm not saying it to jinx them. I think when they want a guy and they are willing to go out there and potentially offer the guy $300 million, I think they're going to get the guy, and I don't know how much competition they actually have, the Angels and whom else. So I think they're going to get Gerrit Cole. And when they do, Jared, they are going to be, rightfully so, prohibitive favorites. The Red Sox are, you know, cutting payroll. The Rays are going to be good. They're always good. But even now, they're trading Tommy Pham to San Diego. I don't know how wise that is. The Twins are the Twins. The Indians are okay. And the Astros are about to lose their ace, and they're embroiled in this cheating scandal. The Yankees are going to be, whether you like it or not, or anyone in Boston likes it or not, prohibitive favorites in this American League next year.
Evan, do you want to know how unbiased I am?
Go ahead.
Are you ready for this take?
Go ahead.
Here it is. I'm going to give it to you right now. This one's free. This one's for you. I'm saving this for the Evan Roberts Show.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
If the Yankees sign Gerrit, not if, when the Yankees sign Gerrit Cole, because it is 100% inevitable, there's nobody who can stop them from winning the World Series in 2020. There's nobody. The Dodgers are a team that Clayton Kershaw admitted, I suck in the postseason. He said that last October. They have Walker Buehler. They're losing Hyunjin Ryu. That's a rotation that is getting worse. You have the Astros, like you said. Gerrit Cole put that team. Justin Verlander was awful for them, basically since that ALCS game against the Yankees. Going to the World Series, he was not very good. Gerrit Cole is the guy that got them there. So there's if Gerrit Cole goes to the New York Yankees, I legitimately believe that there is no team that can stop them from winning the World Series. There's only one team that can stop the New York Yankees from winning the World Series in 2020, and that's the New York Yankees.
Right.
If they stay healthy, that's it. Ball game over, pencil them in.
Look, you know in baseball, anything crazy can happen, obviously in a short series. But I understand where you're coming from, that on paper, especially after what they did last year, they won 100 games and they were ravaged by injuries. I mean, they were not a team. If we looked at that roster and who ended up playing the amount of games that played, if in March I said to you, Severino, he's barely going to pitch. He's barely going to be out there. Giancarlo's barely going to play. They're going to rely on Mike Tauchman. They're going to rely on Gio Urshela. All of that's going to happen. We would have said, oh, they're going to stink. They're going to miss the playoffs. So it is remarkable what they accomplished last year. It's just that, hey, in baseball, in a best of five, best of seven series, anything can happen, but they should be the prohibitive favorites by a lot. I think that's why this signing is such a no-brainer for Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman. Why not?
That's why I'm expecting a ridiculous offer as well, because if you were to ask me, I would say, and the team that hasn't been mentioned in this particular conversation that I think could end up being a dark horse / emerging favorite, the Dodgers, because we're talking about Clayton Kershaw is no longer the guy that's going to be able to get it done for them.
Yeah.
Walker Buehler, I think, is a stud in the making. I think he's going to be the next big thing. Hyunjin Ryu might not resign there. And then if you're the Dodgers, you have to look at this window, right? You went to back-to-back World Series, and then you got eliminated in the Division Series. So now you're taking steps backwards, where if you're Magic and you bought this team and you go to seven straight postseasons and then you finally get to the World Series and then you get back there the next year, now you're taking steps backwards. I mean, you look at some of the pitching market the free agent market in years coming, it's not that great. So if you're Magic and you want to spend, now's the time to do it. Plus, you sort of have in your back pocket the rumors of Gerrit Cole preferring the West Coast or whatever. Right. Gerrit Cole wore a Scott Boras hat immediately after the season was over. He might prefer the West Coast, but I think he prefers the biggest offer available.
Yeah.
And if you're the Dodgers, you know, you have a billionaire owner. There's nothing stopping you from making that biggest offer. But I just think that the Yankees are kind of on the same page here, where they know that they have a group of players on their roster as it's currently established that is a championship caliber roster, except for we need the guy. We need the guy that we give the ball to every fifth day. We need a guy that we can give the ball to in games one and four, and then you have bring him back for game seven. They need that guy, and that guy's Gerrit Cole, and he's a once-in-a-generation type guy where if you're the Yankees, you have approval from ownership to make the biggest offer in the sport history to this man. I would be very, very surprised if the Yankees were not the highest bidder for Gerrit Cole.
If they lose Cole because Cole doesn't want to be here, like you said, maybe at the end of the day he wants to be in California. While Bumgarner's a step down because he's not nearly the regular season pitcher Cole is, I don't know about you, I still buy the Bumgarner postseason magic, and that's the most important thing for the Yankees. They're going to be a playoff team just about every year, barring something crazy. And 2016, when he beat my team in the wild card game, it's not that long ago. I still believe that in the postseason, that is a guy I want to hand the baseball to. Do you still feel that way about Bumgarner? How do you feel about him right now?
I was surprised to see that, you know, he's kind of sifting through offers of north of $100 million. I still didn't think he still had that juice in terms of how teams viewed him. I would be surprised if he kind of was a franchise-altering signing. If I were in the market for starting pitching, that's not a guy that I'm like, that we're prioritizing Madison Bumgarner. I'm just not doing that, especially because of the injuries. He got in like a dirt bike accident in 2016 16
and
or 17,
whatever it
was. And
they got hit by a line drive in spring training was the one the following year. Dirt bike, line drive. Yeah.
Right. So he hasn't been the same guy. I mean, he's still been good. He's still been good. Don't get me wrong. But he hasn't been Madison Bumgarner, the guy that you want to just be like, that's the guy. That's the guy that I'm giving the ball to in game one. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting market because, you know, Steven Strasburg is a name that's out there, but I think most of us have already penciled him back in a return to the Nats because the Nats have already said, we can only afford one, Steven Strasburg, Anthony Rendon, and I think that it is pretty obvious that they are going to prioritize Strasburg's return over Rendon's return. He's the cheaper option. I think, you know, Strasburg could get somewhere like 170, 180. Rendon's going to get like 230, 240. But yeah, I mean, I think the other thing too, when you're talking about Gerrit Cole and his West Coast bias and, you know, does he want to sign with the Angels or the Dodgers? I mean, if you gave me, Evan, right now, a check for $265 million, yeah, I would go pitch in Afghanistan. I don't care where that money's coming from.
Right.
I'll go there. Like, that is an insane amount of money. He could love the West Coast. Guess what? You can build 16 houses and hang out in the West Coast all you want in the off season. Go win a championship with the Yankees. Go be a legend forever. Yep. I'm sure that's what he wants. He wants a shot at a title. You're not going to get it with the Angels.
No, listen, I think you're right about that. I think the evidence is there over the last few years. Now, we're talking to Jared Karabas-Barr, so let's get down to business, all right? I want Mookie Betts for the Mets. Over the last few weeks, it's more of a fantasy than a reality because I had the Wilpons owning my baseball team, which means if I ever traded for Mookie Betts, he's gone after 1 year. Well, as you know, the Stevie Cohen money is coming, and it's coming fast.
Yeah.
It's coming. So yeah. I want to be fair. I've come up with what I think are fair deals for Mookie Betts, but I want to ask you, all right? I'm calling you up. I'm Brody, all right? You're Chaim Bloom. They both competed for the Mets job, by the way. The Mets took Brody Van Wagenen. We'll see how that turns out. What do you
want?
I'm interested in Mookie. What are you asking me? What do you want from me?
See, I've seen a lot of these mock Mets deals for Mookie Betts, and none of them tickle my fancy, Evan. They really don't. If I am Chaim Bloom,
yep,
and I'm trying to cut costs here, I'm going straight to the farm system. I'm not interested in a JD Davis. You know, Michael Conforto, love you, but I mean, I'm not giving up Mookie Betts for Conforto. I'm not doing it for Nimmo. I'm not doing it for Jeff McNeil, any of these guys. Like, I'm not doing that.
So you're not doing it for Jeff McNeil? I mean, McNeil's got a lot of control. He could play anywhere. Guy had a great year last year. That's a pretty good piece to get back. I'm not even offering him, by the way. I'm not offering him, but okay.
Yeah, I mean that's a five-win player, but it's like, what is – you know, can he repeat that? Can he repeat that? Because that's his age 27 season. Did he have a great 2019? Absolutely.
So you
want repeatable?
I get that. You want prospects. You don't want anybody off the major league roster.
No,
that's what you're telling me.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Because Dave Dombrowski essentially depleted the Red Sox farm system, which I'm not complaining about. I know a lot of people complain about, oh, I have a barren wasteland of a farm system. If it results in a championship, who cares? You're trading a bunch of maybes for a definitely, and you win a championship, take that to the bank. I don't care about that.
So,
but I don't look at prospects so much as, oh, these are pieces to the future. No, I look at them as trade chips. I use them as bargaining chips. So if I look at the Mets farm system, Brody Van Wagenen, I mean, he went a little trade happy last year. He went a little trade happy, so the Mets don't have a very enticing farm system for me. Your top prospect, Ronnie Mauricio, that dude can't hit. He's a light-hitting, no-pop shortstop. He's basically Jose Iglesias. You know who the Red Sox traded Jose Iglesias for? Jake Peavy. And he was at the back end of his career. That's what that gets me. That's your top prospect.
But let me ask you this, because the deal I had put together for you, which you're already rejecting before I even told you, didn't include any prospects. Because my thought was, and maybe I'm wrong, my thought was you still are trying to win, even though you're not trying to win. So you're telling me you're not trying to win.
Are you trying to tell me that a team that trades Mookie Betts is trying to win?
Well, if you get certain pieces back, you could try to win, sure.
You do not have a piece that negates or washes out the presence of Mookie Betts. If the Red Sox trade Mookie Betts this winter, or the deadline, obviously, but let's just say this winter, you're not trying to win in 2020. So if you trade Mookie Betts, could you have a, you know, it could be a year like last year. You know, I could just be like, yeah, you're a third place team. You know, maybe.
Hold on. Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question. All right, let's go back into history, and I know the situation isn't identical. The Mariners traded Ken Griffey Jr. How'd they do the following season? Like, but within 2 years, 2001, because he was traded into the 2000 season, they won 116 games. So I don't know if simply, oh, I'm trading this elite player, I'm not getting anyone as good back, means I can't compete. Of course you can compete. You still have good.
You can compete, but it just sends the worst message.
I get that.
To the fan base. Hey, we can't afford, I mean, we're the Red Sox. We have the highest payroll every single year. We can't afford Mookie Betts, the best player in the American League East here, and we're just going to trade him. You know, we're just going to trade him.
Oh, it's a but you know what? This is the perception I have from far away. The perception I have is Mookie Betts doesn't want to re-sign in Boston. That's the perception I've had.
I mean,
for 2 years.
I think it's not. If that were the case, if we had a lie detector on Mookie and that was the result, would it surprise me? No, but I genuinely believe that Mookie Betts has no real emotional ties to the Red Sox. I think he just wants to go into free agency, and he's a hired gun. Whoever gives me the most money, that's where I'm going to go. I mean, he was like that when he got drafted. I think he almost didn't get signed by the Red Sox out of the draft because he wanted like three times what his slot money was, and the Red Sox gave it to him because that draft year was the final year before they switched it in the new CBA to where you couldn't spend that much.
Right.
So, I mean, like, he has a history of this. And I'm not saying that the Red Sox are going to say, hey, you know, good luck, see you later. I think that they're going to make an honest effort to re-sign him in free agency, even if they do trade him. But, I don't think that they're going to be the top bidder. I think that they have a fair evaluation of what they think Mookie Betts is worth from a financial standpoint. And some team that's desperate for, you know, hey, like, look at what we're doing. Like, the Mets, I think the Mets could be a team, you know, especially if you got that Stevie money rolling in.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Dodgers could be one of those teams. I think the Texas Rangers could be one of those teams.
Sure.
You know, teams that need to fill a new ballpark or start a new era, or they're really just going for it because they're championship deprived. The Red Sox are not.
Jared, you're leaving one thing out. Or he's a really good baseball player and you want to add him. You know, I don't think it has to just be filling a ballpark or you're desperate or you're changing the narrative.
That's why I think someone is going to overpay is what I'm trying to say. I think the Red Sox have a mark that they've set. And when they've done this in the past, if they set a mark on a player, they don't budge from it. So it's just like, hey, here's what we think you're worth. Here's our offer. And if someone exceeds it, good luck. We wish you the best.
So you're basically telling me the Met farm system, which I've seen ranked 20th, 21st in baseball, it is not good enough, and there's no Mookie Betts deal to be made. Is that basically what you're telling me? Andrés Giménez, Ronnie Mauricio, that's not getting it done. There's no deal.
I mean, your best pitching prospect is Matt Allen, who was drafted, what, last year?
Yeah,
so
he was from this past
no
year.
Real. There's no professional record for me to even tell you like how good he could
potentially be. Well, Jared, does Syndergaard appeal to you? And I know there's
no.
Why?
You could. Oh, my God.
Why?
You think of that dude in Boston? Are you kidding me?
What do you mean, these Boston?
He is a mental midget. He would not survive a day in Boston.
What about,
that
hold
guy,
on a sec. Well, hold
he
on,
is
hold
a
on.
Negative presence. He's a diva. He's a negative
he's a
Nancy.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with Noah Syndergaard.
Now, your city had David Price, who would be scared of any big postseason moment. Now, he finally broke through. Good for him. I deserve
his
some credit for
love
that.
Him. His teammates love him.
Well,
I don't think
teammates
Noah
don't
Syndergaard's
like Noah?
Attitude is going to fly.
What's
like,
the attitude? What's the attitude?
If Noah Syndergaard has this attitude, I mean, doesn't Noah Syndergaard and Jacob DeGrom, they don't get along because
who said
there's
that?
Like some competitive.
No,
that's
made
that's
up.
A, that's
you're just making
scuttlebutt.
Stuff up now.
No, I don't think so.
Well, who told you that, Bregman? Who told you that?
I mean, I don't. Alex Bregman is just a mere MVP runner-up in this league.
I'm
I don't
not
know
ripping
why
Bregman. I'm just saying, where have you heard that Syndergaard and DeGrom don't get along? Where's that? Where
I
that
mean,
come
I live
from?
In New York now. We hear rumors all the time.
Come
you don't
on.
Think I'm plugged in? You
come
don't think
on.
I'm plugged in, Evan?
Come
I'm
on.
Breaking news all over. But you know who broke the news of Chaim Bloom? You're talking to him.
So are you breaking the news right now that DeGrom and Syndergaard don't like each other?
No, I'm just saying that it was a rumor.
I've never heard the rumor. I mean, am I ignoring it? Is that what you're telling me? Like, I'm just not paying attention?
Maybe you just don't have your ears low enough to the ground. I mean, that's on you. That's
so
on
you don't want Syndergaard at all in any kind of Mookie
no.
Betts trade?
Nope.
You
nope,
don't want J.D. Davis. You don't want Jeff McNeil, who I'm not even
I love all those players. Like, I love Jeff McNeil. We had him on the podcast. Shout out Starting Nine. He was a great interview. Great player. Yeah. I just think that if you are going to trade Mookie Betts, right, you're taking this $28 million off the payroll. I don't want to inherit a major league player, unless it's like an absolute stud, like a pitching stud, which I don't have Syndergaard in that same regard. I just don't. And there's obviously no other arm that's comparable to that that isn't a head case. I'm not interested. I want prospects, and I'm not interested in any of your prospects.
Now, even though you're not interested in the deal, are you curious at all what my overall offer was for Mookie Betts, or you're not even interested?
No, I'm interested in hearing it.
All right, here we go. I was going to give you Noah Syndergaard. I was going to give you Robinson Cano. Hear me out.
Oh, God.
Hold on a second. Well, first of all, I was flipping Cano for David Price because David Price makes considerably more money every year the next 3 years, and Cano only has one extra year of money. So for the next 3 years, you're saving on that David Price contract. So the idea of flipping Cano for David Price is not crazy. Am I wrong?
I mean, the idea of the Red Sox assuming Robinson Cano just to take up a roster spot is crazy.
Yeah, but wait a second. David Price makes $32 million a year. What do you think he's given you the next 3 years?
I mean, he's still a very serviceable pitcher. He's a good pitcher still. I mean, he's not a guy that you're not trotting out the corpse of David Price when he takes them out. Like, he's still a guy you give the ball to, and you have a very good chance of winning a ball game that day.
Yeah, but here's
Robinson
the problem.
Robinson Cano is the corpse of Robinson Cano.
Okay, but here's the
Robinson
problem.
Cano at second base, he's going to have like a 650 OPS play. You know, it's going to be terrible.
But the problem with that is David Price is now going to be 34 years old, and last year was not a great season for him. So
I mean, he got hurt. I mean,
okay, well, that's a part of getting old, bro. That's a part of getting old.
I understand that, but I mean, 34 is not ancient. I mean, it's still David Price was not bad last year. He was just hurt. There's a difference.
Yeah, but I understand that. But what did he do when he came back from his injury? He was not startable. That's how bad he was. Like, in his last 6-7 starts, what were his numbers? I don't even have them in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they were god awful. They were not startable numbers. They were not suitable numbers. In fact, I'll pull them up right now just so we could all look at it together and laugh about how bad David Price was. All right, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm looking at it. He had a 9.47 ERA in his last five starts.
Thank you.
Which is a very – hey, you know what, Evan, though? Guess what his ERA was in the 17 starts leading up to that minuscule five-start stretch? He had a 3.16 ERA.
I understand.
Last time I checked, a 3.16 ERA is pretty damn good.
Yeah, but now
I don't know about you, but a 3.16, I'll take that any day.
Yeah, but the more recent showing from David, as he's now entering his mid-40s or mid-30s,
is not good. Going to tell me that a five-start sample negates a 17-start sample in which he had a low 3 ERA?
What I'm telling you is he's got three more years left on his deal making $96 million, and he's 34. What do you think you're getting out of him over the next 3 years?
If I were to look at the most recent example prior to injury, I'd say a pretty damn good pitcher.
Oh, so you
a guy that has a low 3 ERA.
Let's make a bet right now.
I thought we were just looking at the numbers.
We're looking at the numbers pre-injury in an age 33 season. I'm asking you what he's going to do at 34, 35, 36. So you're predicting right now that over the next 3 years, David Price will make, let's be nice and say 65 starts, which isn't even three full years. He's going to have a low 3 ERA. That's your prediction.
My prediction is that over the next 3 years, throughout the duration of his contract, David Price will have a sub-4 ERA, yes, which is a good pitcher. You'll take that, especially in the juiced ball era. You will take a sub-4.
I just don't, you know what?
You'll like it.
Here's a problem. I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, we're talking about a pitcher who has a lot of innings on his arm, and you're expecting those kind of results at 34, 35, 36. I don't know how realistic that is. Guy's had a fine career. I mean, it really has. I'm not trying to sit here, you know-whatting all over David Price, but at 34, 35, 36, when he's making $32 million a year, I figure a wise person like you would jump at the opportunity to rid yourself of that horrid contract.
So I think it's two different arguments here. If the right opportunity comes along, where you could offload David Price's contract so that you can get under the luxury tax threshold, which is obviously a big priority for this team, sure, you explore that option. But if the Red Sox traded David Price, I do not look at that as the Red Sox ridding themselves of an awful contract. I look at the Red Sox as, oh, this sucks that, you know, they had to do it, but it was the easiest way to do it. I mean, do you make five deals to get under the luxury tax threshold? Do you kind of like pick and poke at it? Or is there just one big deal that you can do and bam, it's done, it's over, and then you can just maneuver from there? And yeah, I think that that's something that they absolutely have to explore, but there's 0% of me that would look at a David Price deal as them ridding themselves of David Price. Like, I don't feel that way at all. And I don't think that, I don't think there's a single person in that Red Sox clubhouse who would be like, oh, wow, thank God we got rid of that guy. But if the Mets traded Noah Syndergaard, there would be some people in that Mets clubhouse that would be like, thank God.
I don't buy it. Anyhow, Jared, always fun. Thank you for hanging out for a while. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's do this again soon.
You got it. You got it, man. Thank you, pal. Jared Carrabas.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.